Because of the time frame, we will go into the message right now, and I would like to share today something that God put on my heart one night when I was praying, and I looked at everything that we are facing, and also as a congregation, how we need to be aware that our service in God's kingdom needs to be in all faithfulness and in all consistency. And in 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 through 20, Paul goes on to write to Timothy, a young man. He was a pastor at the church in Ephesus. He says, "Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme." The longer I serve the Lord and am in the full-time ministry next year, it's going to be 40 years, the greater my desire becomes to be a faithful and reliable servant of Jesus Christ. My desire is to be poured out as a God-pleasing offering, as the Apostle Paul says, that it would be to his glory and honor. Loved ones, I know that pastors are expected to please people. That's from the human perspective. But in the end, what I see after almost 40 years of ministry, what really matters in the end is, am I pleasing to God? Is my service acceptable to him? Have I been faithful? Have I faithfully executed the position of ministry and proclamation of the Word of God? Or did I compromise the Word of God? Did I twist the truth? Did I teach false teachings? Christianity in North America is often like a spectator sport. As someone described it, a coach was once asked about the definition of a football game. He said, he was told, "Isn't it very good? Isn't it good for the community that the community comes together and there's thousands of people and they watch a football game?" He said, "My definition of a football game is 22 men on the field desperately needing rest and 50,000 people in the stands definitely needing exercise." That's his definition of a football game. Unfortunately, as Howard Hendricks told it and wrote about, he said, that is the description of many local churches, that Christianity has become a spectator sport. Yeah, we applaud. Oh, yeah, and we want our team to win. And every time we want to go out and feel that our team won. And we watched our choir and we watched the performance of the pastor. And boy, I didn't know the pastor could jump that high. I didn't know he had this insight. Or I didn't, you know, is this a spectator sport? But the New Testament, did you notice the New Testament doesn't have the terms reverend or clergymen or positions of priests and the like? Because every believer in Jesus Christ is to be a minister to God and a priest in the New Testament sense. God has called us to be priests and kings, according to Revelation chapter 1. Kings as being victorious in him, being victorious over sin and Satan, and priests as interceding for others and bringing sacrifices, serving the church, serving others. That's our calling as believers. So Paul left Timothy in Ephesus to confront some false teachers. There were false teachers back then. They were leading people astray through the wrong teaching of the law, of the Old Testament law. And this confrontation of Timothy, and he had stomach problems, it was terribly hard for him. Obviously, Timothy's gift or giftedness was different than Paul. I mean, Paul could go in and like a bulldozer. I mean, Paul probably didn't have stomach issues because he probably gave others stomach issues. But Timothy had stomach issues. He took it in. He was more of an introvert. And it was very difficult for Timothy to actually confront false teachers. He had to be prepared to argue his case. He had to be prepared and also equipped through the Holy Spirit to do this. And he felt very timid. Timothy felt timid because he didn't see himself equipped to confront this terrible, terrible situation of false teaching. So Paul urges him to remain in Ephesus and to confront the problems. He says, you know, if you have to drink a little wine, but let your stomach settle down. You're often sick, but make sure that you work on your health and that you do your duty because you have been called to serve in the kingdom of God. So Timothy did. And Paul says to Timothy, just hang in there. Be consistent. And there are some principles that I want to look at concerning this text. If we want to serve the Lord faithfully, we need to understand some of these principles. There's many more, but at least some in our text here. First, he says, this command I give to you in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. So first, remember, Timothy, that the ministry is a sacred trust that you are entrusted with and that you need to obey and you need to faithfully execute. Actually, this trust or sacred trust, when he says here, keeping with the prophecies, a command is like a military word, a command. And it is an obligation that Timothy has to stay the course and to remember the gift that has been given to him through the Holy Spirit and to practice and exercise that gift to the best of his ability so that he will be a blessing. Donald Guthrie writes about this. He says, Timothy is solemnly reminded that the ministry is not a matter to be trifled with, but an order from the commander-in-chief. So Timothy, whether he wanted to or not, he was obligated to fulfill his duty. This was a sacred trust. God has entrusted him with a certain type of ministry. He could not just easily back out and say, I'm sorry, it's too hard, I'm out. I didn't expect this. I didn't expect the people to react like this, so therefore I'm out. That was not the case. If God has entrusted you and me with a ministry, whether it's music ministry or Sunday school ministry or usher ministry or any other ministry, that means he has entrusted you and me with this confidence that we will be faithful, that we will execute this, that we're doing this not for people, we're doing this for God. So So Paul says he entrusts this command to Timothy. The word entrust is used for entrusting something valuable. That what is entrusted to us is not only for safekeeping, but for use for the right purpose. William Barclay comments on this and says, it always implies that a trust has been reposed in someone for which he will be called to account. Now that's a thought. All of us who are involved in the church, and maybe you say to yourself, well, I'm not involved to the church, so it's not for me. That's no excuse. If you are a believer today, you are called by God to do something in the kingdom of God to his glory and honor. You cannot just shrug it off and say, well, it's not my responsibility. I can't do this. I can't do this. I won't do it. I don't want to do it. I just want to fold my arms and be a spectator. It doesn't work that way. Unfortunately, in most churches, it's 20% of the people or less that do 80% of the work. The rest of us are spectators or critics. And that's not the way God planned it. The lesson for us is this: the ministry is not an optional choice for the more dedicated. Well, you know, it's for those that are closer to God. They should do ministry. Well, why aren't you closer to God? You know, I mean, why aren't you as close to God as I am? Is there an excuse? Can you say, well, I can't be as close to God as the pastor? Do you think I'm really that close to God? I wish I was a lot closer to God than I am. But anyway, we shouldn't measure ourselves with each other. We shouldn't compare ourselves with each other. We should be as close to Christ as we can so that he can use us, because that's the real purpose. That's where we're really satisfied. That's where we really live up to God's potential, to what he wants us to be. So God doesn't call just for volunteers. You know what volunteers are? You know, you say, well, church, everything is volunteer. You know, I volunteer to sing in the choir. I volunteer to do this in the church. It's not volunteer. Because volunteers can back out anytime they want. Anytime when things get too rough or things don't please us anymore, when we feel uncomfortable doing it, or when the time pressures get too bad, then we back off, say, I'm finished volunteering. I'm not doing that. That's not the attitude that we see in the Bible. We don't volunteer in church. It's our duty to minister to one another. It's our God-given, entrusted gift that he has given you and me. You are obligated. I'm sorry to burst your bubble that you thought you were such a good volunteer. We're not volunteers in God's kingdom. We're obligated to use our gifts and talents for God and his glory. It's not to shine ourselves, but to allow Christ to shine through us, to encourage that when we sing songs, that we do it from the heart, and we do it to God's glory first and foremost, because God is our audience. We're not spectators to see if God will show up or not, or if the pastor will get all excited or not. If he is excited, if he is on fire, well, that's good, and we're in good shape. But if you're not on fire, what happens then? So anyway, let me go to the next point. The ministry that we're called to be in, according to 1 Timothy 4, is related to our spiritual gifts. The phrase, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, probably should be connected with 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery, or by the apostles. This refers to that God had confirmed that Timothy had a spiritual gift and that he should practice that gift, use that gift in the church. You say, well, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Why don't you know that? Why don't you know that? Have you ever been interested in finding out what your spiritual gift is? See, if we're not interested, God is not going to just impose it on us. He's not going to throw spiritual gifts at us and say, here, have this, have that. No, we need to ask the Lord and say, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, fill me in such a way that I would discover my spiritual gift, that I can use the giftedness you give me, and I want to use it to your glory and honor. See, if it's only our talent, and I want to warn us, if it's only our talent, we may be tempted to seek recognition. We may be tempted to seek honor by people. But if we are spiritually gifted, then we want to honor God. And we want to do that in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We want to work through the Holy Spirit and as the Holy Spirit gives us that strength and that equipping. There's two cautions here concerning the spiritual giftedness. We shouldn't just sit around waiting for some special revelation of our gifts and say, well, you know, if God wants to use me, he's one day going to come at night through a vision or through a dream, or one day he will speak to me through a voice and say, do this and do this, and then I will know what to do. We need to seek in the scriptures. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want me to contribute to your church? I want to be used by you. You know how it feels when you just do things out of obligation and you come and you do the routine thing and you know, well, I'm obligated. I need to do this. This is a ministry entrusted to me and I don't like to do it anymore. I just do it because I kind of drag my feet. Are you dragging your feet in the ministry? No, that's not how it's supposed to be. We are to use our spiritual gifts to honor God. And that energizes us. So we can't just sit around and wait for a special revelation for God to show us or to kick us or give us a hunch or something. We need to ask God, Lord, I am yours and I want to be used by you in one way or another. And believe me, I think that God has something to do for every believer, without exception. The second one that we need to caution here is don't neglect serving in certain capacities because they may not exactly be your giftedness. If you have an opportunity, and here's the thing, if God opens a door and we need to serve there, we shouldn't hesitate. Especially if we're not busy with already a lot of things. If you're not busy doing enough for the kingdom of God, believe me, your spiritual life will become stale. You really need to ask God, Lord, how do you want me to help, and how do you want me to be involved? I don't just want to be a volunteer. I want to be your servant. Some people cop out of their responsibilities by saying, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism, so I can't witness. There's no way that I can witness. Well, you know somebody. You know a friend, you know a neighbor, you know a coworker, you know somebody at school that you can talk to. And it's as easy as that. That's where God has placed you, and that's where God wants us to witness. Or you may say, I don't have the gift of helps, so I can get involved in setting up chairs and tables because God has called me for something else. No. Anybody and everybody can help with minor tasks. As our gifts are emerging, we will focus on where God calls us through the Holy Spirit to minister. And once you have this confidence, I am in God's will, where God wants me to be, and I want to be the best I can be for God. that makes all the difference. That's what Paul told Timothy. Timothy was actually timid, as I said before. Yet Paul tells him, just hang in there and confront those false teachers. I know you can do it. I know you can do it. Remember when we prayed for you and God gave you a gift, a spiritual gift. Use that gift and trust God. He will get you through, even if it's difficult. So the ministry is not a short picnic. Actually, what Paul says here, listen to this. So that by recalling them, those gifts, you may fight the battle well. You may fight the good fight. So a ministry oftentimes is not that we play the good Sunday school picnic or any of that. It has less to do with that. It has more to do that ministry involves spiritual warfare. And when teachers go down to the basement to teach the children, guess what? There's often spiritual warfare going on there. And we say, oh, the kids, today they were so restless and today they didn't behave. Guess what? Satan is there to distract them. There's a spiritual warfare going on and it discourages the teachers. But we as a church need to be aware of that. We need to pray at home. If you're not teaching Sunday school, at least pray for the Sunday school teachers and say, Lord, help them to battle well. Help them to really discover their gifts and to really use those gifts so the enemy cannot disturb the Sunday school classes and the children will listen. The same goes for the ministry of the word, the preaching of the word. The ministry, every ministry is a spiritual fight because Satan hates Christian ministry. He hates it when the gospel is being taught. He hates it when there's witnesses, there's evangelism being done. He hates it because souls escape his kingdom and come into the kingdom of God. And we need to be aware that every one of us is in a spiritual battle. And these battles are going on today, whether you want to believe it or not. So to serve the Lord faithfully, you've got to realize we're in it for the long haul. It's not a short sprint of a picnic. It's a long haul ministry. I want to serve the Lord 10 years from now, should he tarry and should I still be alive and well. I want to serve the Lord all my life. You see, some people get so excited about ministry and it's so quickly gone. They burn out so quickly because they didn't really dig deep to find out what their gifts were. And that's where they burn out in ministry. We must be aware of burnout in ministry. We say, well, that's normal. That's understandable. It's not normal. Because God has fresh power and fresh wind for us, a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit week after week. We can be renewed inside every single day to have this fresh power to go out there and fight the battle and win others for Christ. There's a fourth thing here that I want to mention. Paul goes on to say that the ministry is more dependent on personal integrity than the human talent or a polished techniques. And this is a really good one here. He says to Timothy, hold on, verse 19, to faith and a good conscience. These are very basic, right? So everyone in ministry, whether it's pastors, teachers of Sunday school, missionaries, of any kind of ministry, we need to hold on to faith and a good conscience at all times. That is an entrusted part of the ministry. We cannot minister if we don't have faith and a good conscience. We cannot be a blessing to others if our conscience is condemning us because of wrongs that we did or we have wrong attitudes. Doesn't work. So Timothy is to hold the trust of the gospel, of the true gospel, and he is supposed to walk uprightly. He is supposed to not violate his conscience in anything. He's supposed to do it in personal integrity before God and people. As Paul said once, I have a good conscience before God and before everyone. It's so important because people teach false doctrines today, and there's a lot of deception going on in our world. And deception, even the church is often not spared from it. And people are led into a path of wrong teaching or wrong attitudes that's very damaging. We live in a time where there's all these crazy methods used over ministry, what ministry should be like. And people try all sorts of things without even asking God if he leads them to it. They try it, they go, and they make a mess of it. And so I would like to underline this, what Paul says to Timothy here, the best method for any ministry, if you are in ministry at all, the best method and the foundational method is a healthy faith and a good conscience. If you don't have it, don't bother being in the ministry, because that has to be clear. That's the foundation. Unfortunately, Paul says that ministries have casualties. And he refers to some by name here, Hymenaeus and Alexander, who have suffered shipwreck of their faith. Shipwreck. That means they hit an iceberg. They thought the iceberg was still far away, but underneath it was a lot larger than on top. They forgot to check under the surface, and they hit something under the surface that they didn't expect, and they suffered shipwreck. So we all have the tendencies to put our eyes on church leaders, on other leaders in the church that we look up to. But God has never told us, follow your church leaders. He said, follow Christ. And the church leaders have the obligation to tell us to follow Christ. If they no longer tell us to follow Christ, then they should repent and they should get their act together, because the gospel is about following Christ, not following one leader or two leaders and the like. I read somewhere, it says, we should develop the attitude that says this: even if the pastor or whoever you admire spiritually falls away from the faith, I'm going to keep serving the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is the sacred trust that he entrusted in me. I take it personally. It doesn't matter what others say or do. What doesn't matter if some others, yes, it does matter, but not to me personally. It should not affect my own faith. I will faithfully execute my duty in the ministry. If Satan wants you to think that the Christian life and ministry to which you have been called is only like a Sunday school picnic, and then we let our defenses down and we become slack and we become just, you know, like everyday things, and we just allow things to happen, that's not going to work. We need to realize we are called with a high calling to minister, whether it's to children, to adults, to youth, to neighbors, whatever we are involved in. Our goal is that in the end, and here it is, it's all about pleasing God. It's all about honoring God. Because these words that he wants to speak to us at the end of our journey, none of us want to miss those words. You know what those words are? Those words are, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." He is watching us. He is holding us accountable. He will hold us accountable on that day and say, "What have you done? What didn't you do?" We will have to give an account. Whether you like it or not, that's the Bible. We give an account, and then we want to hear those words. "Well done, you good and faithful servant. Come and inherit what has been prepared for you all these years. God has wonderful things for you and me." I know we cannot earn salvation, and that this has nothing to do with receiving salvation. We can only minister if we have received the grace of God through Jesus Christ and the forgiveness. That's all free. But we want to faithfully serve him. And faithful service is honoring to God. So I want to plead with you today. Let us be faithful in what we're doing. Let us realize that this is all to God's glory, not to glorify or please people. We want to do it to God's glory and through the power of the Holy Spirit. May God bless you. Amen.